Jesus said, I didn't come to take your life away, but to give you life. He said, the thief came to rob, to kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life, and life more abundantly. So if we abide in him who is life, the thief can't touch you. Amen?
Amen.
Not without God's permission. We're his children, aren't we? How many know that God works all things together for good? Do we really believe that? How about when we're going through the valley, when we're going through the difficulties? Do we still believe that God is going to work this together for my good? Yes. Because he is true. He's not a man that he would lie, right? His name is faithful and true. True is what's authentic. It's what's real. We've all known deception in our lives. We've believed things that were not true. There are many even today, and maybe even areas in our lives where we're still believing something to be true that's really not. But that's why God gave us his word, amen, and this spirit. Because we can know what is true, and when you know what is true, you are free in him. Free from bondage, free from fear, free indeed. Free from the power of sin, free from the penalty of those things that we did in rebellion to God, because Jesus came to purchase us and to pay the price for us that we deserved to pay so that we could go free. Amen. He took my place on that cross. I believe that. I look to Jesus as my all in all. I look to him as my salvation, my hope. The song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I trust in him, his blood, his righteousness. So what is it that pleases God? Faith in God. When we believe him, we believe the report. We believe his word. God wants us to believe him because God is not a liar. I know it's hard to believe people today and the stuff that you see, especially in the political arena. Hopefully you're not spending too much time there. Well, we're always hearing about they're lying, they're lying, they're lying, they're lying. Well, God doesn't lie. Amen? And sometimes it's the liar who's accusing others of lying, by the way. Yeah, blame your enemy for the thing you're doing so people won't suspect you. It's good to see you and all of you coming out today and this beautiful, glorious Sunday morning and to be with the people of God. And we rejoice in our God. He has delivered us, brought us out by the blood of the Lamb. He carried his people Israel on eagle's wings, he said. I brought you to myself. We can soar in heavenly places in Christ. We can soar above the snake line. Where the enemy can't touch you in that place, the secret place of the Most High. We've been given access. The veil has been rent from top to bottom. Amen. The way into the holiest is now open through the broken body and blood of Jesus. We can come confidently or boldly to the throne of grace. Isn't that amazing? Confident what? In my own performance? No. I come with confidence in what Jesus Christ has accomplished for me at the cross. And his blood and his righteousness, that's what I put my faith and my hope in, amen? That Jesus makes me righteous. Because sometimes, you know, we're only feeling as righteous as we've been righteous in our own eyes. You know what I'm saying? We're righteous in our own eyes if we do a certain thing or perform a certain way. And sometimes we're putting standards in our own lives that God hasn't put in there. I'm not talking about, you know, being the sloppy agape and irresponsible living. I'm just talking about you got to get your eyes off you, amen, as being the savior of your life. And when you get your eyes on Jesus and when you're fully trusting in him, then the grace of God is released in you and what you believe you experience. I believe that I am free today from the power of sin. Therefore, I can live a godly life by the ability or the grace that God supplies. Because I'm trusting in him and not in myself. As long as I trust in myself, I may do good for a little while, but then I fail again. And you repeat this pattern over and over again. You fail over and over again until what? Finally, you say, you know what? I can't do it. And guess what? Now it's time for you to start believing me to supply all of your needs, to be your source of strength, your help. Just call on me. Trust me. I've got this thing. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Amen. Today is Veterans Day. How many are thankful for our veterans? Amen. Hallelujah. As someone who's willing to pay a price that we could have freedom. And most of you have heard this said, but it's very true, that freedom is not free. It comes at a cost. Our freedom today in Christ came at a cost. It wasn't free. Likewise, our freedom in this nation, amen, was made possible through the blood of those who sacrificed, gave themselves unselfishly. I pray God would turn our nation back to our founding, amen, our roots once again, the old foundations where there was selflessness and a willingness to lay one's life down for their friend and for a brother and for their neighbor. And, you know, today we've become so selfish as a nation. And it's the church. We need to arise, amen, and we need to live in Jesus Christ and bear the fruit of Jesus Christ in this world. People need to see the truth, amen, lived out, and people that know the truth. And the truth is a person. We have a relationship with Him who is true. And as we walk with Him, we will display His likeness. As you abide in Him, you are holy. You are righteous. See, I'm not righteous because I performed at a certain level today. That would be works. But I'm righteous because I'm trusting and relying upon the grace of God, amen, that makes me right, makes me holy, makes me pure. When I'm trusting in Christ, when I'm relying upon His ability, then I can live a life that is godly and pleasing to the Father. Can you say amen? But we have to be careful because religion teaches people that they have to make it happen. They have to perform, you know, and many people are striving and they want to do right and they actually want to be right with God and they're trying so hard to be right with God, never really knowing when do I actually arrive at being right enough. And their whole life they're enslaved to a system, a tyrannical spiritual system that's really the devil's behind. How many know the devil is an oppressor? He's got people enslaved to performance and measuring up. Let's just get over ourselves right now, amen? Let's just admit that I can't measure up. Christ measured up for me. And if I abide in Him, trust in Him, then I measure up because He is my righteousness. Understand? God clothes us in His righteousness. He says you got to discard those filthy rags of self-performance. Okay? Of comparing and competing. Well, at least I'm not as bad as Joe over here. And we all need to beat our breasts and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We all need to come the same way, and that's through the cross. Through repentance. Renouncing the old sinful ways, the old sinful life. And embracing the cross of Jesus to follow Him from this point forward in obedience to His voice. As He will give us His Spirit. As we are born of Him, amen, He gives us His Spirit. The Spirit of His Son comes to dwell within us, crying out, Abba, Father. We must be born again. I was at a pastor's meeting on, what was it, Friday night. It's been a crazy busy week. And one of the speakers that was there was talking about how today in so many churches you have people that are faithful attenders, but they're not saved. They're not saved. There are many people who think they're saved that aren't saved. I don't want to guess about this, and I'm not going to ask the pastor if I'm saved. I want to know, all right, between me and Jesus, that it is well. There are a lot of people who are self-deceived. And the reason they believe that they're saved is because maybe they perform at a level they think is acceptable before God. But if it's your works, apart from Him, it's no good. It's self-righteousness, and God rejects it. We need Christ's righteousness, not self-righteousness. If we're in His righteousness, we will bear the fruit of that righteousness. Good works will follow faith. But they're not the precursor. We get the cart before the horse. People think if I achieve a certain level of right living, then I'll have arrived with God. If that were possible, the cross would have been unnecessary. For you and I to be righteous in ourselves, you know, if we could do that, then the cross would be unnecessary. Can you say amen to that? Jesus knew that we couldn't save ourselves, and He says, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. So you got to be through with your life. You can't take your life into heaven. You need to lose your life. You need to give me that old stinky thing, amen? And I'll give you my life in exchange. My new life. My abundant life. My joyful life. My loving life. My true peaceful life. He's all that. We're in a race. The title of today's message is Running to Win. Running to Win. And I wanted to share a scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Now we need to understand that Solomon wrote this, but Solomon was writing from a natural man's understanding, a natural man's perspective. But in this, you also see the wisdom of God coming through. And this is one of the things he said in verse 11, chapter 9. I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance and by being in the right place at the right time. Now understand that this is a man, you know, that is observing life from a natural perspective, and he's saying life is not fair. He's saying, why do bad things happen to good people? How many of us have ever said that or wondered about that? And how come the fastest runner doesn't always win the race? I know what it's like to run. I used to run a lot. I ran away from people. I ran away from the cops. I used to run a lot. But I ran in the Army, and I even ran a marathon one time. I don't recommend it, but the fastest runner doesn't always win the race, and the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. You know, things happen. We can have the best plans. We can have everything laid out, our expectation of how things are going to go. And things get interrupted and things change. And sometimes things change suddenly in our lives. And things are often unpredictable, aren't they? How many beside myself like to have your life completely scheduled out and organized and with a full knowledge of what's going to happen next? And if I do this, this is what's going to happen. If I do that, that's what's going to happen. How many know that God wants us to plan our lives? A wise individual will make plans, all right? How many know that the ant has to make plans for the winter, right? It has to prepare itself, okay? You know winter's coming, you got to get busy, all right? Make preparation, or you're going to starve. And so, from a natural man's perspective, he realized that sometimes, even though somebody may be strong and fast, and they can run very well, it's not necessarily a guarantee that they're going to win the race. Do you understand that God has equipped you and I as His people with everything that we need to run this race and to win? Did you know that? Now, Solomon goes on to say, he says, everything, it's all decided by chance, he said. Well, I disagree with that. But I do agree with by being in the right place at the right time. How many know that the will of God is not a chance thing? The will of God is a sure thing. If it is God's will, it is for sure. It is certain. God's word is forever settled in heaven. What God says, He means. God Himself actually submits Himself to His own word. The Bible says that God has set His word above all His name. Meaning that God says something, and I submit myself to it. In other words, I'm going to keep my word. Okay? So God has given you and I, in Christ, everything that we need to overcome this sin-sick world. God has given us everything we need to finish well, to finish with joy, to be overcomers. Because the overcomer dwells in us, those who are born of His Spirit, are children of God by the new birth. The overcomer is within us. So everything that we have need of is in Christ for the winning of this race called the race of life. Amen? So, 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now think about the such a way. There's a technique to running. If you're going to be successful in running, you have to run correctly. You know what I'm talking about? Those of us who are veterans, you know about the runs, right? And you know that you had these people that were really cocky. I thought, man, I'm just going to smoke this thing. And you're going on a 5-mile run, whatever it was. I've been on 13-mile runs, even, just a regular. In Korea, one of our runs was 13 miles. It's called the Horn. I try running 13 miles. You don't do that overnight, right? But, I remember thinking, man, you just blast out, okay, as fast as you can go. These guys are thinking, man, I got this thing nailed. And about a half mile down the road, they're already like starting to putter out. And you see these other guys that are just kind of like, they get into a rhythm, a pace, But what they're doing is they're envisioning that finish line. They're thinking ahead that I'm going to have to pace myself or I'm not going to make it. Do you get it? So there's a certain pace. And so sometimes we think because I'm in this sprint, that I'm going to get somewhere. And how many know that life's race is not a sprint? It's a marathon. It's a long haul. So we got to be in this for the long haul. We have to have that mentality that there are going to be many challenges along the way. There are going to be distractions. There are going to be things that the enemy throws in my path to get me off my course. And it happens at times to all of us. How many beside myself have been knocked off your course before? Amen. What do? You get back up and you get back in. Amen. But God is with us and God provides the strength that we need daily to overcome each step of the way. There are people who depend upon a Sunday morning message to get them through the week. Are you hearing me? Or a worship service. It's important that we're here, amen, but it's not going to be enough. You and I need to have a daily connection to God on a walk in the Spirit because Christ, gives us strength for our days. Each day, He provides grace. That's why we pray, give us this day. What? Our daily bread. Amen. So we have to rely on the grace of God daily. And step by step, we are running out this marathon called the marathon of life. Amen. For what purpose? The end game, amen, is the crown of life for those who overcome. And the finish line is Jesus Christ, our Lord, waiting for us, rooting us on, calling us, this is the way. Keep your eyes on me. Don't forget what you're doing. You're in a race, and you have to run to what? To win. You have to have a winning mentality, an overcoming mentality. You have to believe that you can do what God has called you to do, because God will provide the grace for you to do what He called you to do if you will trust Him, lean on Him, and draw from Him every day. Step by step, you will finish your race with joy. But don't allow that enemy to distract you, amen, and take you out of the race. There are people who will fall out of a race. You know, maybe they stumbled and they fell. Or maybe they needed to get a drink of water, whatever it might be. But they get back into the race. They don't quit. Folks, let me just tell you this. You're going to make it. As long as you don't quit. God's for you. He'll provide you the grace you need every day to overcome. Amen. And when you stumble along the way, don't let that devil talk you out of the race. Don't let him talk you out of just quitting and giving up, throwing in the towel. Amen. You get back up and you get your eyes back on Jesus and said, we're in this to win. Amen. I'm not running this race just to finish. Amen. But I want to finish well. How about you? I want to finish strong. I want to hear Jesus say at the end of the race, well done, my good and faithful servant. Think about it. A stadium. The stadium is this world that we live in. And the act of running itself is a forward motion. It requires faith. It requires commitment and action. How many know the Christian life requires faith? It requires commitment and action in order to win this race. How many know that a good runner is one who has disciplined themselves, has, you know, done what was required to build themselves up so that they can finish the race? Okay? So we have to be committed to this race. We have to be committed to the cause of Christ. Sometimes we get our eyes off the main thing. Sometimes we get distracted and we think about our Christian life as just being a series of going to meetings or attending events or doing a thing here and a thing there, rather than a daily step-by-step faith walk with Jesus. Amen. And God will direct our path. If we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, if we lean on Him, He'll provide the strength we need to overcome whatever thing we face in our life, whatever battle, whatever struggle we're going through. God has got what we have need of in that time. Amen. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Run this thing to win. Amen. Do what you got to do. Discipline yourself. Amen. You've got to discipline yourself to pray. You've got to be in the Word. You've got to be in fellowship. You've got to be in obedience. You've got to be reaching out to people. How many know that the main thing for us right now is to win the lost? Amen. And to make disciples for Jesus. It's not attending church. Amen. This is a time of equipping. But this is not the whole sum total of what we're doing. And I'm reminded of this, and the Lord has to remind me of this, because so many believers have gotten into the institutional mindset. You know what I'm talking about? Where church is just an institution that they serve. You got people that have denominational pride. Well, I'm Baptist. I'm Assembly of God. I'm Church of God. How about just a follower of Jesus, a child of God, born again, amen, blood bought, and part of God's army, part of something bigger than myself. God has given me a mission. He's given me a responsibility. Amen. That together with Christ, we are to co-labor and we are to build up the body of Christ. We are to reach the lost. We are to make disciples. Amen. We are to equip people. Amen. And one another, impart that which God has invested in us into others. Take what God has given you and make a good investment with it. Amen. So you'll have treasure in heaven. Because we're on a race. And soon and very soon, we will be at the finish line. Soon, it will be over. No chance to go back and redeem the lost time, the wasted time. Soon, the race will be over. Many people don't realize that tomorrow will never come. They assume that tomorrow will be another day. I believe that we should live our lives redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity. Amen. Bearing fruit. Day by day, step by step, we are running this race. And the Lord provides all that we have need of for victory. Amen. For a glorious entrance into heaven. Hallelujah. For Jesus is at the finish line waiting for us. Keep your eyes on Him. We've got to run in the path of God's will. I don't know about you, but that's the goal, is to receive the commendation of the Lord at the end of the race. To hear Him say, well done. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Anybody that's ever run in a race knows that there's pain involved. It requires commitment, endurance. You have to have a mindset that you're going to finish, amen? And you've got to have an overcoming mindset in your Christian life. You have to think, amen, as God sees you. God sees you victorious. Jesus has gone before us. Jesus has sent His Holy Spirit. He says, now you have everything you have need of, because My Spirit will be with you to help you through all of life's struggles, all the pain, all the things that happen. God's going to help us through if we will lean on, trust in Him. That is so amazing, isn't it? For you have need of endurance, He said. That word endurance means patience, constancy. Hanging in there. No matter what. No matter what happens. When you don't understand it, you've got to know God's heart is good. Trust the Lord. Trust His heart. People get offended at God. People get mad at God. Because they don't really know God's heart. I want to know God's heart. I don't understand everything that happens in my life. And sometimes, let's face it, life is not fair. But that doesn't mean that God is not good. We live in a fallen world. Can you say amen? So Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24, run in such a way that you may obtain it. There is a strategy. There is a way that God has for you. You have to discover, Lord, what is My purpose in the big scheme of things here? All right? Because the fastest runner doesn't always win the race. Sometimes people belt out of the gate, you know, and they putter out. You know, I've heard it called, we call them bottle rocket Christians, you know. Shoo, boom. Quick, right? A flash in the pan kind of thing. So we got to understand, it's not always going to be this emotional roller coaster, right? Well, it would be a roller coaster, wouldn't it? It's not always going to be a mountaintop. All right? There's going to be valleys. There's going to be difficulties. But we're in a marathon. There's going to be pain involved in this. But as long as we got our eyes fastened on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, we will make it. Don't look at your situation. Don't look at your surroundings. Don't look at the problem. Look at Jesus, who is the solution. Trust in Him. Call on Him. Wait on Him. And sometimes it may be the midnight hour, but I have found my God to be faithful. He will take away where there doesn't seem to be a way. He'll make a provision because He has connections, doesn't He? With things on earth as to heaven. God can move in any situation. He can put you at the front of the line. Talk to Him. Call on Him. Trust Him and wait on Him. And know that just because He didn't do it the way you thought He should do it, He's doing it the best way for you. The strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. Sometimes our soldiers may be tremendous in stature and strength, agility. But sometimes things happen. You hear reports even in the more recent wars where a kid will come up with a gun, you know, or a woman with a hijab will come and throw a grenade or something and take out special forces, and, you know, you don't know. Yeah, you train. Yeah, you prepare, but you don't know what's going to happen. But let me just say this. Solomon said, which I think is true. The first part of this, I disagree with. He says it's all decided by chance, okay? But by being in the right place at the right time. That's very true. Do you understand? God's will is the right place at the right time. If you're in the will of God, even being at the right place at the right time, things will happen. We will understand it. This is not fair. I've been doing everything I know to do that is right, and why this? Has anybody ever said that before? I think of Job. You know how Job thought he was doing everything right, at least in his own eyes. You know, just because I think I'm doing everything right doesn't mean I am. Somebody needs to hear that today. Just because you think you're doing everything right doesn't mean you are. And just because you think you're right doesn't mean you are. I think we need to make sure that God is saying, yes, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, I'm well pleased. We're in His favor, not in my own opinion of myself, but what God says about it. I don't want to be deceived. How about you? God wants us to be in His will. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 5, verse 3. Luke chapter 5, verse 3. Then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Verse 5, Simon Peter answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Now I'm glad he just didn't stop there. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Smart man. Do you understand what's going on here? And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Faith in God's word brought them success. Now, how many beside myself ever feel like you've spent a lot of energy and made very little progress? Even in ministry. I've spent myself sometimes in things or projects and stuff that probably weren't what God wanted me to do. I just thought it was a great idea. Okay. So you end up spending yourself, or anything in life it can relate to, and then having very little fruit out of it, if any. But that's what was happening with the disciples. They labored. They were working in their own strength. Okay. For a catch, for a harvest of fish. And Jesus shows up, all right? Jesus speaks and he says, set down your nets now, you know, for a draught. And so they did. They obeyed the voice of God, but at first he says, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but there's times in my life when God is speaking to me, but there's a little bit of unbelief. My first response may not be in faith. I know some of you are beyond that, but there's been times when we have doubted God's promises because the situation we're in seems to be bigger, okay, at least in our natural understanding, than the God who we serve. The devil is constantly trying to make himself bigger in your imagination than the God you serve. If he can convince you that he's bigger, okay, than the God you serve by saying, oh, the problem's too big, it's too great, it's too impossible, then we get into this thing called fear and unbelief. And when we're in unbelief, well, God doesn't move in unbelief. God moves in faith, confident assurance that God will do what he said he would do. And so Peter says, we struggled all night. In other words, that we have exhausted ourselves in our own strength and our own understanding. But then Jesus says, now I want you, by my voice, to listen to my voice, do what I tell you to do. Because you know what Peter's thinking. He says, Lord, we've done this all night long. What's one more cast into the sea? But it was Jesus speaking. Do you understand how important it is for us to hear his voice? We have got to listen to God's voice. We've got to know God's voice. We've got to know God's word so that when God is speaking to us, we'll know he's speaking. Amen? And when he speaks, if we are quick to obey him, even when it doesn't make sense in our natural understanding, God will do what he says he will do. God will come through for you. Your miracle is going to come because you took action upon what God said. Stretch forth your hand, and it was restored. Are you hearing me? There was always a responsibility, an assignment given to the Word of God, an instruction. If you do this, go wash in the pool 7 times. Then the miracle came of sight. Amen? This is how God works through us. He wants us to believe simply what he says and not believe what we see. It looks so bad. Man, if you listen to the news, it looks so bad. But we need to look at Jesus, amen? Keep our eyes on him. Don't be distracted. Don't get caught up in listening to the wrong voices, all right? And get into that funk of negativity and pessimism and, oh, nothing's going to happen. America's going to hell in a handbasket. You see Christians online speaking like that, man. They're like speaking curses over their nation. I was like, I'm going to stand and fight for America. I'm going to call on God. I'm going to believe God to intervene. I'm going to believe for, and every time I pray for an awakening and for a mighty move of God and a revival of God, every time it just quickens me inside. It's like God's saying, yes, that's what I want for America. Get out of that other stuff. Let's start keeping our eyes on Jesus. I mean, yeah, we live in a sin-sick world, and our country needs help. But my people, he says, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's you and I. It requires action on our part. We've got to humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Amen? Then, he said, I will hear from heaven. So, don't curse the darkness. Don't get all bent out of shape because sinful people do what sinful people do, just like you used to. And if you don't think that, you need to get saved. Come on. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They're in blindness. So the fastest runner doesn't always win the race. It requires strength, endurance, speed. But we have to learn how to pace ourselves. And the pace I'm talking about is the pace of God's Spirit. As he is with us and as we walk with him, amen, and as we stay close to him and lean upon his grace. How many know that the greater one is on the inside of you. If you're born again, if Christ is in you, you have everything that you have need of within you to tap into the grace of God. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord will give you what you have need of. Call on Him, ask Him, believe Him. And it requires, though, a willingness to run, to listen, to obey God. We're in a race, and if you don't run, running is a forward motion. If you just want to sit around, come on, and play church and be apathetic and be complacent, if you don't have a vision, if you don't have a goal, what is our goal? Our goal is to see Jesus in that day. He's the author and the finisher. And to have Jesus say, well done. That's our goal. Every knee will bow to Him. Every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Amen. In that day, I want to see Jesus smiling. I want to hear Jesus say, well done. Not because I ran the race my way, but I ran in such a way. I ran according to God's will. I was running on His path for my life. And my eyes were on Him, Jesus. Amen? At the end. This is what the Lord wants for His people. He wants us to receive. Every one of us in this room, do you understand that God wants you to receive an abundant welcome into heaven? He wants you and I, I'm going to say it again because some of you are not listening. He wants you and I to receive an abundant welcome into heaven. Jesus wants every one of us in this room to have much fruit. Amen? He wants us to have treasure, where? In heaven. If we're on a race, then we're not going to get bogged down in the temporal things of this life. Yes, we have responsibilities. Amen? But we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus, and through it all, and everything that we do, amen, we do for the glory of God. Amen. Revelation 21:6. See, it's not just a matter of strength, it's not just a matter of speed, but it's the ability to run in such a way that you can endure to the end. That you run in the way of God. In the will of God is the way of God. Okay? And He said to me, Revelation 21:6, it is done, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Here it is. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. So here's the promise that God says, if you need provision, I'm your provision. Okay? Then He says in verse 7, he who overcomes. Do you understand if you don't drink water, you don't hydrate on a race? It's not going to end well. If you're thirsty, come to Him. Drink. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now listen, verse 8, but the cowardly, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These are the words of Jesus. Do we believe Jesus? The first list on those who are going to hell are the cowardly. Those who turn away from Him. Jesus says, if you stand up for me, if you confess me before men, I will what? Confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father and what? The holy angels. Who said that? Jesus. I believe Jesus. Do you? See, when we look at the Word of God, we've got to look at it in its entirety. We can't just approach this word and say, well, I like this stuff over here. I like the dessert aisle. I don't want any of that meat and potatoes over here. You know, you've got some anemic Christians, right? Because they're not eating a proper diet. And there's a lot of, unfortunately, It's too many today that would rather sit under the teaching that tells them everything they just like to hear, but not necessarily what they need to hear. And that's the age we're living in. Oh, they'll flock to the churches that just tell them whatever they want to hear. I like this church because it makes me feel good. You know, sometimes you have to feel bad before you can feel good. You have to have godly sorrow that works repentance. Come on. If you're not firstly, you know, convicted by the Spirit of God and you don't have that fear of God, that's the beginning of wisdom, amen? And an understanding that I need to get my life right with God or I'm going to miss eternity with Jesus. And the fear of the Lord is a good thing. The fear of the Lord is that which will keep you when nobody else is around, when nobody else is looking. We have to endure. He says in 1 Timothy 6:12, here it is, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That word fight means to struggle. Literally, it means to compete for a prize. Compete for a prize. We are in a race. And we are to run in such a way that we may what? Win the prize. Hallelujah. The crown of life. The old hymn says, to him who overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Are there any overcomers in here this morning? You're going to overcome because you put your full faith and confidence in Jesus Christ and not yourself. Amen. You lean on Him. You trust in Him day by day, step by step. You're in a race. Don't let that devil talk you out, amen, of your crown. Don't let him distract you. If you fall, if you stumble, get back up. Don't let him talk you out, amen, of your crown. Get back up. Get back in the race and run to win. Amen. Because those who have an overcoming mentality are the overcomers. Those who are in this to win will win. Too often, we just simply want God to give us temporary patches. We want God just to kind of take care of my need for the moment. But we don't have time for God any other time. Just when we have a need, then we start to get right with God. Are you hearing me, somebody? You won't make it unless you learn how to lean on Jesus. For every child of God defeats this evil world, 1 John 5:4. And we achieve this victory through our faith. Every child of God does what? Defeats this evil world. Are you a child of God today? You're born again? Then you have an overcomer in you. You have the ability to do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. Amen. Strengthens us. Do you know that the Lord doesn't want us just to survive, but He wants us to thrive? He doesn't want us just to get by, but He wants us to bear fruit unto eternal life. Are you hearing me? And so God calls us to a partnership with Him. Everybody hear me. If you're in this room today and you're a child of God, you've been born of the Spirit of God. You have an assignment from God. Did you know that? God has a plan. God has a will for your life. And God wants you to bear fruit. Amen. God wants you to be transformed into the image of Jesus. Amen. His Son. The likeness of Christ. But God also wants you to bear fruit unto eternal life. God has called us to a commission, a great commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. To make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, and lo, I am with you how often? Always. Do you understand? Every one of us, you may be gifted differently, but all of us are called to corporately work and move together for the building up, amen, of the body of Christ, because Jesus is coming for His bride. He's coming for His people. And you and I are laborers in His vineyard. God has given us His Holy Spirit to empower us. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And for what reason? So I can have goosebumps? So I can be what? A witness. And you shall be my witnesses. It also means martyrs. Those who will lay down their lives for Christ in the gospel. Amen? Those who are knowing that I have to discipline myself and I have to deny myself certain things that will hinder me in this race. Because if I allow those things to enter in and choke me, I will not finish my race with joy. I want to see Jesus at the end saying, well done. Thank you, Lord. We need the anointing of God. We need the power of God. But listen, guys, we need to seek the anointed one and not the anointing. Are you hearing me? People are seeking power, but are they seeking the heart of God? We need to know the Lord. That is eternal life, that we are acquainted with Jesus. Amen? That's the most important thing. And if you are in relationship with Jesus, if you're walking with Jesus, if you're pursuing the anointed one, then His anointing will automatically flow out of your life. You will be quickened, you will be awakened inside, and you'll become aware of the plan of God. And the desires that God has will become in you a desire to do what pleases Him. Did Jesus ever tell His disciples that they lacked anointing? No. He sent them out. He didn't say, you couldn't do this because you lacked anointing. He said, no, you couldn't do that because you lacked what? Faith. It's not enough just to possess something. I could possess an ATM card, and there may be money in it. Maybe. But that card's not going to do me any good until I do what? I got to find a machine somewhere, and I got to make a what? A withdrawal. Amen? You got to make the withdrawal. You need to come to Jesus for the withdrawal. Say, Lord, I need You. I need Your strength. I need Your grace. I need Your power in my life. I need You to baptize me with Your power. Amen? So I can do what I'm called to do. Because apart from You, I can't do it. I need Your ability in my life to do this. Make a withdrawal. Amen? By faith come to Him as a father and as a child before his father, knowing that my Father's good. He loves to give good gifts to His children. And how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So you come to Father and you ask Him and you believe and you receive and you say, thank You, Father, that I have all that I have need of because I've asked and because You're faithful. And even though I may not feel it, when the time comes, by faith I will activate that which I believe You've already invested in me. By an act of obedience, I'll open my mouth and I'll share Jesus with somebody. I'll pray for somebody. Are you hearing me? We have to activate by faith the gift of God. It's not enough just to have an ATM card. I've got to make a withdrawal. Amen? And you and I have been given the key to make that withdrawal, and that is faith. Come to God, believing He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. And if you've got a big thing coming up, I don't know about you, but this time's when I just need more. Man, something's going on, something's coming up. I need more. You can't live on snacks, amen? You got to come and you got to eat. You got to drink deeply from the wells of Yeshua, salvation. You want to be an overflowing Christian. You don't want to be a surviving Christian. You want to be a thriving Christian. And you're not going to be thriving just because you're a fast runner. Come on. Or because you've got great willpower. I can will myself. How many beside myself? And I'm learning a lot of people who are strong-willed individuals. And they thought that just implementing that strong will tied together with the Word of God or their Christianity or what knowledge they have was what's going to keep them, what's going to take them through. You call them bottle rocket Christian, right? They make a big bang. They may make a lot of noise even. Some people are just strong-willed. Me and Jesus got this thing nailed. We're going to do this thing, me and Jesus together. You know what I'm saying? And they're operating out of their soul power. How well does that serve you? Well, it serves you to a certain point, but then you're like that sprinter that runs out the gate, amen, and gets about halfway through and he's out of gas. Because in his own strength, he's not going to be able to make the journey to finish the race. We're in a marathon. We're in a race. Guys, listen. We don't have much time. We don't have much time left. What is our life but a vapor? Here today, gone, and soon we will see the Lord. Run in such a way that you may obtain that crown, that you will win this race. Trust Him. Seek Him. Ask Him to reveal to you what His plan is. Discipline yourself. It's not worth losing, amen, in eternity. I want an abundant welcome. I want to bear much fruit. How about you? That's what the Father wants, for every one of His kids to bear much fruit. And Jesus said it very clearly in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Keep your eyes on Him. No matter what, if you fall out, you stumble, don't listen to the other voice. Get back in the race. Get back up. Get back in. Amen? We can stumble in a day, but God is faithful. He's there to reach His hand out. We just call upon Him. Lord, help. If you find yourself sinking like Peter, just call out to Jesus. He'll lift you up. We need faith in God, but we need the faith that comes from God. We put our confidence in God, but we need the faith that God imparts. Do you understand? Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It all comes from Jesus. If you're walking and abiding and continuing with Jesus, you will walk in faith. He will give you the confident assurance in your heart. It's not something you work up in your own flesh. It's not like the choo-choo train that goes, I think I can, I think I can. Wishful thinking. But we need to stay connected to the power source, Jesus Christ, who infuses us with His strength day by day, step by step, and we're running in a race to win. We cannot allow the adversary to steal Him any longer from our lives and shut us down. He's there to deter. He just wants to steal your inheritance. He wants to rob you of your faith. Keep your eyes on the One who is faithful. Don't trust in your own ability to believe, but trust in God's power to sustain you through it, give you the strength to do it, whatever He calls you to do. You've got to activate your faith by action. You've got to get into this race. You've got to get back. If you've been out of the race for a while, it's time to get back in, isn't it? We need people to commit. You need to commit to Jesus. You need to commit to your church. Amen. We're the body of Christ. God's given us a place to meet. But we're here to help each other through. If you need help, ask for it. Amen. You need help from brothers and sisters, pray. Ask them. Peter said, nevertheless, I'm going to finish here. We toiled all night. We've been struggling. Nothing seems to be happening. It's time that you get a hold of God and say, God, I need to hear from You. I need a word from You, Lord. God, I'm asking You to speak to me. Do you understand that God has been speaking today already? Have you heard the Lord speaking through this clay vessel today? That's all I am. That's all we are. We're vessels. But God's been speaking. If you would listen and you obey His voice, you'll succeed. You'll overcome. You'll finish well. You'll finish strong. And you'll finish with joy. And Jesus will say in that day, enter in the joy of your Lord. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. And in that day, every knee will bow.